Welcome to CSEK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CSEK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CSEK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CSEK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CSEK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CSEK News, as the temperature drops across Northwest BC, tent cities and homeless camp residents are preparing for another long, cold winter, and municipalities once again don't have a whole lot they can do to alleviate the situation. Earlier this month, BC Housing released the latest homelessness data, and the numbers are pretty stark. Across BC, rates of homelessness have skyrocketed in the past 3 years. In Northwest BC, many communities are experiencing an exponential increase in those living on the streets. Smithers has seen their homeless population double in the past 3 years since 2020, the largest ever, while Terrace and Prince Rupert aren't far behind. There are currently 57 people living without a permanent home in Smithers, most of which are men, with about 53% reporting experiencing homelessness for the first time as a youth. 36% of those counted say the main reason for being homeless was due to not enough income, while others pointed to substance abuses and conflicts with spouses and landlords. All had the same level of health concerns, especially for those, about 94% of them, who have been on the streets for more than a year, half of which live at the encampment near the library. In Terrace, a city of about 20,000 people, around 156 people have been identified as homeless, about 36% of those which live almost exclusively outside, 13% of which are youth, 66% are adults, and 21% are seniors. Of those surveyed, about 81% have experienced residential schools or are intergenerational survivors. In Prince Rupert, 146 people have been identified as homeless. About a quarter of that, 36 people, are under the age of 25. More than half of all respondents cited addictions as the highest health concern. Although every community is trying to deal with the situation in their own way, and with limited resources for new social or supported housing developments, municipalities are a bit hamstrung with what they can do to house everyone who needs it in their community, especially as we head into winter. Today, I check in with Smithers Mayor Gladys Attrill about the situation in Smithers, and we revisit our interview with Mayor of Terrace Sean Buitage about how his community is also struggling to find a solution to homeless encampments and growing crime. Stay with us.
As far as an update on what might happen for the tent encampment for the winter, I don't really have a lot of new information. We have been reaching out to BC Housing, looking for some support for cold weather shelter and beyond that, sort of following up on the decision from the Capri last summer. But at this point, I don't have any real solutions to put on the table.
I know that first winter, there was like that winterized insulated shed, but that doesn't seem like it's been put into place. Is there any sort of sheltering, increased sheltering that they're going to see at the camp there, granted that it is going to get pretty cold here very shortly?
Yeah, I don't have a positive answer for that, Dan. The trailer that was there a couple of winters ago, at that point, there were five people that were sort of chronically in need of shelter, and there were five people that were sheltered in that trailer. So it just isn't a solution anymore. And, you know, there are way more people. We've all seen the numbers out of the recent homelessness count. And there are way more than five people living in that tent encampment. So something much larger than that's required now. You know, it really does take a longer term solution. And I, you know, this isn't our first winter seeking help. And, It was in March when I was having conversations with BC Housing saying, you know, winter is 6 months away and it's just around the corner and here we are again. You know, I think a lot of hope was placed on the project that didn't go ahead, which was the hotel project. And more recently, we just haven't come up with something. It's the same as last year. It requires a place. It requires someone to operate. And it requires a shelter facility, and all of those are still missing.
Yeah, I know that that project with BC Housing, you know, was voted down. Was there any conversation as to where to go next, if there's another opportunity or another possibility to see some sort of housing that might address this situation?
Well, there's been follow-up conversations, but nothing specific. You know, when we were at UBCM, council met with BC Housing, met with the housing minister. You know, we raised the case, not just for shelter, but for housing, you know, trying to fill all the gaps. And it's just not something that we can do on our own. It feels like a bit of a broken record, but, you know, finding a location is important. So what's in place now is really not a long-term solution. So we need a place, and we need, you know, probably we could get the funding for the what, but it also requires a partner, an operating partner, and all of those pieces have to come together, and they just have not. It's a terrible answer, but that's what it is.
Well, it seems like this is an issue right across the board. Terrace is dealing with similar issues, Prince Rupert as well, and they seem to be perennial. But obviously, you mentioned it there at UBCM. You know, there is this united front advocating about the housing, and it seems like it's just something that has always been a problem, but now it kind of hit this critical point. What were some of the other conversations hearing from other communities that are obviously dealing with the same thing, and if they've been successful, have had any sort of impact on, you know, diversifying the housing market on one, but also having some of this housing for the most vulnerable?
Well, I think, you know, some communities have managed to find solutions or partial solutions. I'm not sure anyone has really solved this. And I think it's those pieces coming together, identifying a location, having someone who is eager to run the location, and then funding to either purchase, renovate, or build. You know, or in some cases, you know, we've just seen the announcement out of Kelowna putting the little tiny self-sufficient homes, or, you know, those individual structures, like that's an option too. But it takes, you know, it takes multiple entities coming together at the same time.
That was Smithers Mayor Gladys Attrill. Coming up next, my conversation with Sean Butage, Mayor of Terrace.
Sean Butage, Mayor of the City of Terrace.
Great, Sean. Thanks so much for being with us today. Maybe tell me a little bit about what you've been seeing and hearing from the community about public safety and crime.
I think crime is the big issue in our downtown core. I think there's a bit of public safety concern, but more the crime. And it's really been impacting our commercial businesses quite significantly. When you hear stories of a box store losing $250,000 and stuff a year from theft, last February we had one store that was broken into three times in 1 month. It's tough on these folks, and it's really hard for them, and it's truly unfortunate that it seems that not a lot gets done with prolific offenders when it comes to reoffending.
You know, Sean, years ago, no one was really talking about this. People in a small town pretty much maintained that it was safe. You didn't have to lock your doors. Your kids could go around the community on their own. But that has really changed in the last few years, especially in that downtown core and Terrace there. What do you think has precipitated this rise in crime?
Well, I think this has been an ongoing thing, but you're right. The town has definitely changed. I grew up here, and you know, when I was a kid and even a teenager, nobody locked their doors. You know, we all left our doors open. You know, somebody needs something in your house, you just said, "I'll go over to the house and go grab it and let yourself in," because we didn't lock doors. And now we're in a world where everybody has to lock their doors, because it seems things just disappear if you don't. But it, you know, I can't really pigeonhole one thing that has increased the crime in the community. I think there's multi factors. I think there's change in law that has made a catch and release system a bit more problematic, and it's, you know, people are are just being let back out the second they're committing crimes, and they're just going right back to committing those crimes. So I think that is the real key factor of all of this. There's, you know, big industry comes, and everybody knows that, that crime tends to go up a bit when big industry comes. But I actually think the biggest concern here is with the government allowing people back on the streets right after they're repeatedly committing crime.
I know MP Bacharach brought that up to me, the fact that what he talked about in the House and questioned David Lametti, the Justice Minister, of was changes that are needed or required to kind of do what you're talking about, make sure that repeat offenders don't get released and back out into the streets right away to continue committing a lot of these crimes. I guess, what was the message that you were trying to get across to MP Bacharach, as well as the leader of the federal NDP, Jagmeet Singh? They're not in government, but they do have some influence. But what was the message that you were trying to get across to them?
Well, to me, it's telling government how this is impacting our communities. I think there's no question that a lot of people that commit crime have some mental health issues, and that gets tied together. But the reality is nobody seems to care about the mental health of the folks that are being victimized when it comes to all this crime. You know, what PTSD does it have to a family like the Kenmures, whose shop was broken into three times? How does that impact their family? You know, how does it impact a small business in a town that can't afford to have, they see $10,000 worth of damage done to their neighbors, and they know that if that same $10,000 of damage happened to them, that they'd have to close their shop because they couldn't survive that kind of damage. And it just, nobody seems to care about these folks. And these are the folks that are keeping our communities alive. And we need to support them and protect them. And by doing so, is stopping the crime that's happening to these people.
Now, obviously, you met with the local MP and the leader of the opposition, the NDP opposition, but have you requested to meet with any government officials within the Justice Department or Public Safety Department? Is that something that you're hoping for? And what would you ask of them? What do you think can be done in the interim?
So a couple of things there. Federally, we have not asked to meet with anybody, but in the past, provincially, we have. Myself, when I was a councillor, and Mayor Carol Leclerc in the spring went to the province and sat down with Minister Eby at the time, Minister Cullen, and Minister Farnworth to discuss the crime issue in Terrace and what the provincial government could do to support this issue, because the catch and release system is really damaging our community. So we had spoke to them. In the past, we have asked to meet with the Crown, and the Crown has chose not to meet with us. We did meet with the Crown in Prince George, but I don't really feel that that's really that helpful. You need to really meet with the folks that are a bit more local. But in the end of the day, to me, it feels that the two governments need to work together to resolve this issue, because this is not a Terrace issue. This is not a Northwest issue. This is not just a provincial issue. This is a Canada-wide issue. But the two governments need to work together to try and come up with solutions that's fair for all. But we need to really protect our businesses so we don't lose them.
What's the next step here? This is going to be a long road to see any sort of changes to the criminal code or to the bail system. But as you mentioned, there are people who are seeing this crime, having it inflicted on their businesses, losing money, their livelihoods. What are you and council doing in the interim, in the next little while here, to try to deal with some of this and ensure the community that it is a safe place to live?
We've hired more downtown safety officers to try and help with that, and just try to keep working with those folks. But in the end of the day, a lot of ways, it's a bigger issue, and it's the crime issue really is up to the provincial government and the federal government to deal with. And we're truly at the mercy of them to get this done, because it's out of our control. And I watched Premier Eby last week make some big announcements about dealing with violent offenders. And that's awesome. But I think the piece that was missed is there was no talk about repeat, just criminal offenses, like complete repeat, shoplifters or repeat people that are continuously breaking into places and stuff like that. He just talked about repeat violent offenders. But I think where municipalities really need to step up is Premier Eby also did state that, you know, the measurable for success in his new program will be residents feeling safe to go to their downtown. And municipalities need to hold the premier to that and make sure that he can deliver on that promise.
Just the last thing for you, Sean, you know, you mentioned that this is not just a terrorist issue or a Northwest BC issue. This is an issue right across the country. Most of the communities in the north deal with this. And because they are in large part smaller communities, don't necessarily have the capacity or the tools to deal with this in a timely fashion. Do you think that there's something there of a regional collaboration that might be possible to see something done on the municipal level together to deal with some of these issues?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's, you know, when you go to the government in numbers, it's always a good move that way. I think another problem that's now rearing its head is the lack of RCMP across the province, and there's a complete shortage of people in this field. So that's another problem that compounds this issue. But, you know, municipalities pressuring the government together, I think, is a smart move. And I think you're seeing it with the urban mayors already. So for the rural mayors to get together and try to do the same thing, I think probably would be advantageous, and definitely conversations that I will have with my colleagues going forward. But I think our job as municipalities is to keep that pressure on government as much as we can to make sure that they deliver on some of these things, because our residents have a right to feel safe inside their communities, and they have a right to not feel like they're going to go home at night and have to come back to an empty store.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.